And back, as always, who are looking at me very skeptically, Charlie Herman, business and economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio, and Noel King, managing producer for The Takeaway. Charlie, what's your word for the week?
Extraordinary.
Extraordinary. Well, I like that word. And Noel?
Reset.
Extraordinary reset this morning. Well, let's start off with some kind of extraordinary news out of France, which is what we were talking about earlier, the arrest of Dominique Strauss-Kahn. He was the managing director of the International Monetary Fund and looked like a very strong challenger to President Sarkozy there in France. He was arrested Saturday for on charges of sexual assault of a Manhattan hotel maid. Okay, so we now have a temporary replacement, but the IMF has some extremely important meetings this week and decisions going forward. Is his arrest going to mean kind of a change in policy or no?
Not necessarily a change in policy, but definitely a bit of a vacuum at the top. I mean, John Lipsky, who is coming in to take his place at the IMF, has already announced that he will be resigning at the end of the summer. So depending on what happens with Dominique Strauss-Kahn with these charges against him, which he's expected to plead not guilty to today, it really could dictate there's just a vacuum at the top in terms of what to do with Greece. There's talk about perhaps restructuring the debt they have or offering them more debt. There's trying to finalize a deal with Portugal. There's worries about Spain. I mean, really what's extraordinary about this is this one event here in New York for this one person who's accused of a sexual assault of another person could have this ripple effect through trying to help some of the sovereign countries.
It underscores the transformation of the IMF's role in the international finance community. It used to be dams in Africa, you know, development projects in South America. Now it's the key issues in Europe.
It is one of the key players working with the European Union. And while the Union has really been one of the leading forces in trying to come up with the debt offerings, the IMF has been playing a very large role. And to lose that, I mean, they were really – Dominique Strauss-Kahn really played a large part in helping from the European and worldwide perspective during the financial crisis. His absence is going to be missed.
All right. Well, let's move from international economics to very domestic crises. And later, President Obama is going to Memphis, Tennessee later today. He'll meet with some families who've been hurt by the flooding there. But the flooding is not over, and the Army Corps of Engineers opened the Morganza Spillway over the weekend. They're trying to keep the waters from flooding Baton Rouge and New Orleans. That's all well and good. Unfortunately, it also means that some of the rural communities in Cajun country are now facing waters maybe as much as 20 feet high. So, Noel, this is kind of protecting one large group of people
at the expense of others. And for the most part, the people in the rural communities seem to understand why this had to happen, why those larger cities needed to be protected. But it doesn't change the fact that you're talking about, in some cases, you know, 4,000 people in one area affected, 1,000 people in another area affected. And the thing that's so astonishing about this flooding and about this story is that it's a slow-moving disaster. I mean, it's been going on for weeks.
But is it a controlled disaster? Unlike Katrina,
wow.
In other words, does it feel controlled? There's 100% evacuation rates out of some of the rural areas. There, people
are
cooperating.
And compared to Katrina, of course, I think anything would seem controlled. I think
right.
that at this point in the game, it's really too early to tell. I think when people start going back to their homes and seeing the wreckage and seeing the damage, it's going to feel much
and
less controlled than it does now.
Madness,
oh, my
yes,
goodness,
exactly.
Yeah.
Although many people are moving literally everything out of their homes.
That's right.
They
That's
have
a lot
time.
Of folks packing up trailers, packing up cars, doing whatever they can to get everything
Empty.
Out.
All right, so let's go back to finances here for just a moment because, you know, we've been talking in very dark language about the approach of the debt ceiling, right, Charlie? I mean,
exactly.
For a long time we've said we have to raise the debt ceiling.
This is another slow-moving disaster
right,
that's slowly coming towards us.
Right, or the doom shall be upon you, said the Lady of Shalott. So, okay, we could reach our debt ceiling today. They haven't raised the debt ceiling.
There's been a lot of talk, maybe not as much action as you see in parts of Louisiana, where people are actually taking action to deal with the flooding coming. In this situation, there's been a lot of talk. The Treasury Department said that they will take these extraordinary steps to be able to keep paying where it needs to, but that could only last perhaps till about the beginning of August. And you really start getting into questions about how much could this disrupt the financial system if there isn't really some sort of step taken. The Republicans want to have cuts. They don't want any taxes. The Democrats want a little bit of a mix or calling just for a clean increase of this debt ceiling. And one of the things I think to keep in mind here is that politics clearly is affecting a lot of what's going on here. But it's estimated that the amount of money that the debt ceiling needs to be increased by is about $2 trillion.
Yeah.
That would put it the next time you have to increase the debt ceiling, if we keep going along the way we are, after the 2012 election. So the likelihood that we'll get $2 trillion could be very slim because there may be some who want to have this issue come back up right before the 2012 election.
But Could we default?
If we don't do anything, there's the possibility that we could. I mean, a lot of people are saying this isn't the case, but a lot of smart people in finance are saying this could be really disastrous.
And John Boehner was all over the Sunday show saying there's going to be a deal, there's going to be a deal.
They say there's going to be
tough to the president.
It's a lot of talk, but there's no real action.
All right, Noel, you have 90 seconds in order to solve the Mideast crisis.
Okay. No.
All right, we're just talking. We've had these clashes along the Israeli border over the weekend. They've said that people have died. Palestinians were from many places, Syria, Lebanon, the Gaza Bank, marching into Israel. This week, on Thursday, I think, President Obama is going to give a speech on U.S. Mideast policy. People are saying that the Palestinian unity deal that they reached earlier has actually isolated Israel more. What's going on?
Well, I mean, let's talk about the speech on Thursday first, because President Obama is being put in the position where it's the post-Bin Laden world, and he wants to use this as an opportunity to deliver a major foreign policy speech on North Africa and the Middle East. And what he's expected to do is focus on delivering a consistent and coherent U.S. policy. You know, one of the big criticisms so far is we're doing one thing on Libya, we're doing another thing on Syria, we're doing another thing on Bahrain. Where is the overarching theme in the response to these countries? Now, the Israeli-Palestinian situation is kind of another kink in the works there, because what he's going to want to do is address it. But it's being hinted at this point that he's not going to lay out a new plan. He's not going to
mention Israel.
Many details. He'll mention, but he won't go too far. He won't go too far.
Noel King, Takeaway Imagining producer, and Charlie Herman, WNYC, and the Takeaway's business and economics editor. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.